Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Well, my co-host Macaulay Matthew. I'm of course William Ramo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey man, how's it going?
I'm doing good, man. Glad to have you on the show as always.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for checking out this episode. On today's show we're gonna tackle the A-Rod. Possibly becoming the next Mets owner, rumor. We'll also talk about the Astros scandal and their apology and how it affects both New York teams, the Mets and the Yankees in New York. We'll also talk about WWE. And basically anything that's on your mind, how we do on this show. You know, it's a sports entertainment show, so we'd love to hear you have your voices heard. So feel free to call in. The number is 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So, feel free to chime in. Love to hear from you. But with that said, let's talk about the A-Rod news. Basically, as you know, A-Rod, he's a former MLB player, retired, and he infamously was a free agent after the 2000 season. And, allegedly A-Rod's been a Mets fan since the 86 team, growing up in Miami. So basically, his agent was Boris at the time. And, when he was a free agent, basically, A-Rod and Boris made a lot of demands. And as a result, the then Mets GM Steve Phillips, he basically made the infamous 24-1 comment, basically saying that A-Rod is a team all to himself. He's not a team player. He just looking out for himself. He wants his own private jets and all this stuff. And he's not trying to be a team player. And if you remember the Mets team, they had a good run, went to the World Series, but, they didn't win it all, And of course, that was, part of the Yankees dynasty, at the time. So, the Mets didn't want to get him, even though A-Rod was the best player at the time. So as a result, A-Rod, had some MVP, seasons in Texas, even though that team didn't go anywhere. And then afterwards, A-Rod was rumored to get traded to the Red Sox. That deal didn't go through. And of course, that was like the off season of 2003, after Yankee third baseman Aaron Boone, after he hit the biggest home run of his career in the postseason for the Yankees to clinch the ALCS in 2003. The Yankees lost the World Series to the Marlins that year. So basically, Yankees wanted to make a big move. They traded for A-Rod. The rest is history. A-Rod had, you know, a bunch of postseasons where, you know, he didn't produce in the postseason until 2009, where, you know, he helped them get their first title since 2000 and well, actually 2000. And as of right now, as we stand, that's the last title the Yankees have so far. So fast forward to this year. You know, the Mets have had a crazy offseason. I mean, this offseason they've had three managers. They fired Mickey Callaway after that season, you know, season filled with promise. But in my opinion, Mickey Callaway's incompetence as a manager prevented the Mets from making it to the playoffs, in addition to mismanaging the horrible bullpen. And, you know, Diaz, familiar having horrible seasons, career worst seasons. And that basically prevented the Mets from making the playoffs, even though I think they were three games out of the postseason race. So fast forward to this postseason, Mickey Callaway gets fired. They hired Carlos Beltran, former Met and possible future Hall of Famer, you know, in baseball. Then 2 months later, they fire him after the whole Astros controversy, which we're going to get into very soon, was, you know, basically revealed that Beltran was like a ringleader, if not the real ringleader of this sign-stealing scandal. So as a result, the Mets fired him. And then afterwards, maybe a month or like a week or two later, they hired Luis Rojas, who was their quality control coach, who has been in the organization since, I think, 2006 or 2007. And basically, then the other biggest news from the Mets was that, you know, Steve Cohen, you know, a billionaire, you know, was trying to buy the Mets and, you know, from the Wilpons, but that deal went through, even though there's some rumors that maybe Steve Cohen might, you know, might try to acquire the team one more time. But, you know, now the rumor is that A-Rod, you know, like Beltran, you know, both guys who have been very successful, superstar seasons, you know, Hall of Fame years in the game. They both want to throw their hat into, you know, running the Mets. So that's basically the rumor right now. A-Rod is going to need, you know, A-Rod's going to need, you know, some billionaires to help him, because as much as the money A-Rod was making, he can't afford to buy a team, you know. Even if him and his fiance J-Lo combine, it's still not going to be enough to buy the Mets. So they're going to need, he would need some billionaires, you know, to help him do it. Unless if they do a scenario that no one ever, I haven't heard anybody mention, what about if Steve Cohen, even though he has enough money, what about if he joins forces with A-Rod and try to buy the team? But I don't think that's going to happen. But in any case, what's your thoughts about, you know, this whole crazy Mets offseason and this latest A-Rod rumor?
Well, you know, going back to the Beltran, parting ways with Beltran, looks like they made the right decision to part ways with him, especially with, you know, these new reports coming out that Beltran was indeed one of the ringleaders in that clubhouse, who led the way, you know, for this cheating to continue in that clubhouse. I mean, players saw him as like the godfather of that clubhouse, and some even were a little bit intimidated by Beltran. So it looks like Beltran played a big role, you know, in the Astros cheating in 2017, or, you know, even up till now, possibly. But you know, the Mets were in the right. You know, we originally thought that, you know, maybe the Mets could have just suspended him or fined him, but, you know, they made the right decision because this was going to linger into the season, and, you know, this would have been a major distraction, so they had to part ways with him. And I think Louis Rojas will do a good job for the Mets. As far as the A-Rod thing, him potentially buying the Mets, you know, A-Rod has really impressed me with his baseball commentary, his baseball analysis. You know, he's a student of the game, you know, and I think he would be a great owner. You know, even better than Jeter, you know, and I'm a big Jeter fan, but, you know, Jeter hasn't done the best job with the Marlins, but I could see the A-Rod really, really, you know, committing himself into, you know, being an owner and doing everything he can do to improve the team. Because, you know, his analysis on these games and commentary has been on point. And, you know, he's great at that, you know, great with statistics and analytics and stuff like that. So, I think that could be a good thing for the Mets. I mean, we'll see if it actually happens, but, you know, and we'll also see how much ownership he would have if that does happen. So, you know, we'll see. You know, it's an interesting story right now, but, you know, anything could happen from now until then. It's all up to the Wilpons on what they want to do because they've been very flaky when it comes to, you know, selling the team.
Yeah, man. I mean, I agree with literally everything you said. I think A-Rod owning the Mets is a long shot. I mean, you know, unless if you could get some, you know, billion-dollar owners to, you know, team up with him and buy the team. But yeah, I agree with everything you say. You know, I think anybody is better than the Wilpons, and I think, you know, A-Rod being a competitive player, you know, he would do the best. You know, he would try to do the best to try to make the Mets, you know, a championship caliber team, being a player, you know, being a competitive player that he is, you know. Not to mention, you know, he wants to, Jeter, you know, since they've had a frenemy rivalry, you know, it started off as a friendship and then it turned into a rivalry with each other after A-Rod infamously, spoke, I think it was a Sports Illustrated article, like I think around 2000. Because up until this point, when A-Rod was in Seattle, and of course Jeter was, you know, he spent his entire career with the Yankees, they were, you know, very good friends, you know, maybe even best of friends, who knows. But they were very close. But then A-Rod, this might have been, what, 99 or 2000? He came out with, he spoke in a Sports Illustrated article and basically was saying that if he was on the Yankees championship teams, he would have won the titles. You know, like he was basically downplaying Jeter's clutch contributions to the team, you know, to the Yankee team. And basically he was saying like if he was on those teams, he would have won, which basically that ruined their relationship. And, you know, they tried to mend it apparently when they were teammates. You know, but, you know, from, you know, rumors, you know, basically Derek Jeter, you know, once you wrong him, you know, you know, baseball's three strikes, you're out. You mess with Jeter, you get him on your bad side. That's it. There's nothing you could do to, he's not going to forgive you. So that's allegedly what happened. So even though they were teammates and, you know, Jeter and them try to put, you know, their differences aside, you know, that relationship that they had, you know, long before the article will never be repaired. So that's what happened. But fortunately for them, they were able to win a title in 2009, which, I mean, A-Rod didn't win the title in 2009, but it didn't. It definitely proved his theory about if he was on the Yankees team, he would win a title because he needed Jeter to be there. And, you know, before 09, he had, you know, he had great regular seasons, but a horrible postseason. So, you know, with Jeter, he was able to get that title, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's kind of similar to Dwayne Wade and LeBron James. I mean, obviously, their relationship, I mean, you know, LeBron and Wade's relationship, you know, has always been solid as a rock, to my knowledge. But, you know, when you come to, like, you know, A-Rod, even though A-Rod is the more talented player, like LeBron James was the more talented player, but when you come to a guy's team, like LeBron coming to Wade's Miami Heat team or A-Rod going to Jeter's team, even though you're the most talented player, you gotta know your role, man. You gotta know that, you know, this is the person's team. You know, that's the, you gotta respect the captain of the team you're going into. It doesn't matter if you're statistically the best player, you know. As long as you're a teammate with that person, that person's always gonna have one title, at least one more title than you do, until you part ways. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, A-Rod, you know, he had to know his role, you know, that he can't, you know, take over the Yankees organization while he was there. You know, that was Jeter's team. You know, Jeter at that point had four titles, you know. So, and that's the way it is. And then but LeBron, you know, he worked well with Wade. You know, him and Bosch respected, you know, Dwayne Wade, you know, for his leadership, winning that title in 06, the first title with the, you know, with the Heat. And, of course, they would win two more together before LeBron left and went back to Cleveland. And then, of course, you know, beat the Warriors in 2015. But, see, that's the whole difference between those two legendary, you know, friends, you know, dynamic in those, both of those sports. LeBron, he knew what was up, you know. He respected Wade, and it worked. A-Rod and Jeter, I mean, it did work to the title in 09, but, you know, A-Rod trying to take over, and his comments years prior to that in that article didn't, you know, fix the situation. But most important thing, they, you know, they won a title. So now A-Rod, you know, he didn't get a chance to play with the Mets, you know, because of the whole Boris and Steve Phillips 24-1. And apparently A-Rod was saying that he regretted not being more hands-on inside the, you know, inside the negotiation, and not just leaving Boris to do what Boris does, you know. That's why, you know, I think, you know, Scott Boris is the best and worst, you know, agent of all time, man. He's the best because he'll get you the money. You'll make record money. And that's what players, you know, that's what players want. Players want to make the most money. And Boris is great at that. However, you might be playing in Antarctica, you know, with the with the Penguins. You're not going to win a lot of games, but you're going to have a lot of – you could afford a lot of igloos down there. You know what I'm saying? But that's my opinion on Boris right there. But, you know, he's the best at what he does. And that's what happened to A-Rod, you know, when he was a player. He signed with Texas. He had like three MVP years. Hit like 50 plus home runs, knocked in over 100 RBIs. But the Rangers finished in last place. And of course, you know, he complained about it. And it eventually forced a trade to Red Sox. And I think that deal fell through. So then afterwards, Yankees and Texas were able to make the trade, and the rest is history, you know. But yeah, we'll see what happens. I don't think it'll happen with A-Rod, but hey, any owner is better than the Wilpon, so you know, I'll take it.
Yeah, we'll see. The Wilpons right now, they're, like I said, they've been very flaky when it comes to selling their team. You know, last minute they change things around and, you know, make these different types of stipulations, which hurt the negotiation. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see. And who knows? Maybe Steve Cohen might step in again.
Yeah.
Maybe he might be in the picture again. Who knows? But
yeah. Because the rumor is that after they mess up the deal with Steve Cohen, now Mets are going to sell the team. They're auctioning off the team, but this time they're going to give up full control automatically. They're not going to try to, you know, do some lame, try to have control of the team for 5 years, have the owner have no input in the team, and then they're going to give up the team in 5 years. I mean, that's a crazy, crazy stipulation. He was going to give like $2.6 billion to that team.
Wow.
And he don't have no input. No input.
Yeah,
he's just going to give them money for like the next 5 years and has no say in what they're going to do. Like, that's not fair. I mean, they're both billionaires. I mean, that's, you know, billionaire problems. But yeah, that deal is kind of screwy. I'm just hoping, you know, cooler heads can prevail. Steve Cohen could, you know, basically find his way back in here. Because I'm curious, you know, to see how he would do as an owner. I mean, you know what I'm saying? But
yeah.
Hey, if it, you know, if A-Rod can get a group of billionaires, hey, if Steve Cohen and him could work, team up, even though Steve Cohen is rich enough, he doesn't. I think he's worth what $13 billion. He doesn't need anybody to team up with him to make the money to buy the team. But you know, hey, if any of those, if whoever is gonna help lead the Mets win the World Series in the next near future as soon as possible, that's what I'm down for.
Yeah.
Bring it on. So
yeah, we'll see.
And speaking of winning a World Series with the Mets, Pete Alonso, I don't know if you heard. Pete Alonso was saying like he wants to win a title, you know, because the team, you know, is working hard, and most importantly, he wants to win a title so he could get drunk and celebrate down the ticker tape parade.
Oh, nice! Those are nice goals to have.
And the other goal, guess what? His second goal he wants to have other than winning a championship.
MVP.
Well, obviously that's one of his goals, but that's not it. That's not his second
start
goal.
Family?
No, I'm talking about the baseball field.
Home run champion? Well, you already did that.
Yeah,
home
he did
derby.
That already.
Yeah,
it's
I don't know.
Something else he hasn't done. I mean, the MVP was a great guess. He hasn't done that yet. No Met has ever done that.
Yeah, I can't think. Did he lead in home runs?
He did. He did last year.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I can't think of what else he wants to do.
Win a gold glove.
Oh, yeah, that was going to be my next guess.
Mm-hmm. He wants to win a gold glove so he can stick it to everybody. Because, you know, a bunch of people were saying, you know, was, you know, criticizing him, saying that his defense is horrible, but he worked hard and made himself into a very good defender. So he wants to win the gold glove, you know, to show how far he's progressed, you know, defensively. So, you know, he's setting goals for himself, you know.
He definitely is.
Hopefully he could accomplish all those goals, you know. Marcus Stroman, he thinks he's going to be dominant. This year he's going to strike out more. He's going to try to strike out more people, you know, in his second season of the Mets, first full season as a Met. And Noah Syndergaard, he thinks His slider is better, you know, than before. It's back to his 2015-2016 Mets, you know, season. So, you know, he expects a bounce back. And basically, they're you know, the Mets are very optimistic, you know. They have what was I gonna say? I'm trying to remember what I was gonna say. Yeah, they believe Familia, you know, he lost 30 pounds. That should have helped him improve. Edwin Diaz apparently was training with Pedro Martinez, so they think he's going to have a bounce back here. So, you know, Mets are, you know, looking very optimistically. But one thing, back to the Mets and Beltran, basically, the Mets have had two players on, you know, who played on the 2017 Astros team. And one of them was Jake Mariznick, and the other one was J.D. Davis, who had a phenomenal year last year with the Mets. And they basically, you know, they apologized for their, excuse me, for their wrongdoing on the team. Jake Mariznick, you know, his apology was very heartfelt, you know, about, you know.
Yeah, he's kind of like a bitch.
about being part of, you know, that, you know, infamous team, you know, even though they were essentially rookies on that team, if my memory serves me right. But, you know, they basically apologized. I mean, they look sincere. I mean, J.D. Davis, you know, a few months ago was denying the rumors, but now that it was out, you know, he owned up to it and, you know, apologized about whatever role he could have played on the team. But, you know, now they're going to put it behind them and try to help the Mets win a title. But speaking of the Astros. The Astros basically, man, they I don't know what they were thinking, man. Their apology was the worst apologies I've ever heard in my life.
So rehearsed.
But you know who's the worst one? Jim Crane, the guy who fired, you know, AJ Hinch, and Ludlow, the GM, and hired, of course, Dusty Baker to be their manager for 1 year. He makes the most insane statement of them all. He was saying, like, basically, that he doesn't think that that the Astros cheating impact the game. And then he contradicted himself. Like, in a report asked him, you know, what do you mean it doesn't impact the game? He's like, he thinks that the team would, you know, is a great team. They won a title. It wouldn't have impact the game. Okay.
So undeniable.
Hold my root beer. Let me tell this guy something, man. Okay, how does it not impact the game? When it did, it not only impact the game, it impact games in the World Series. And since it impacted games in the World Series, it impacted the game of baseball. So how the heck did it not impact the game when it impacted several games in the World Series and in the playoffs and, of course, obviously in the regular season as well, which helped them win the game of baseball and win a title? How did it not impact the game when it impacted several games?
Yeah, he's so in denial on what his team did, you know, and he made his team read all rehearse scripted messages from him. I mean, it's so fake. This whole team is fake, man.
If it didn't impact the game, then why did he fire AJ Hinch? And what was it Ledbo, the guy who
yeah,
the GM? If it didn't impact the game, if they didn't do anything wrong, then why did those guys get fired?
Yeah.
Why did Alex Cora get fired with the Red Sox after he was the bench coach on that championship Astro team, and Beltran was allegedly the ringleader, which Carlos Correa said that statement of Beltran bullying the players and being the godfather of the team is BS, according to him. So why did they fire all those people? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What's the point?
And there's a report also that this cheating could have been going on even before 2017, not even started a year earlier, leading up to this season. So this cheating has been going on for a while, and a lot of people knew about it, including the interns that they had working for, doing their analytics and other stuff. A lot of people in the organization knew that this cheating was going on, and no one bothered to stop it.
I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, because of this cheating thing, it tainted a very talented Astros team that they fulfilled that prophecy that I think the Sports Illustrated had, like, in, what was it, 2015 or so, that these guys were winning a title probably in, 2017 or around that time. And they lived up to the hype, all those guys. Because Astros, they were able to get some draft picks, and then, as soon as they moved to the American League, all those guys came up, Altuve, Correa, Springer, Bregman, all those dudes were coming up all at the same time. They all debuted, at the same time, And, they're a talented team, but now their legacy is tainted because
it is
the Astros. I mean, Astros have, they've been in the league as long as the Mets have, Shoot, even the Mets and Astros played in the NLCS in 86, where they, ironically cheated, but the Mets beat them anyway, because Mike Scott, was one of their best pitchers, was like probably arguably their ace. They had Nolan Ryan, who obviously was Nolan Ryan. And they had a lot of great pitchers. And then, of course they had Mike Scott who threw a no hitter, and he was a former Met, and he threw a no hitter with the Astros, and he knew a way how to, doctor the ball that he could control where it goes. And the 86 Mets team, as confident and brash as that team is, they without any hesitation, they all say that they would have lost Game 7 of the NLCS if they would have faced Mike Scott in Game 7, because that guy, he knows how to cheat the ball. They literally couldn't beat him, because he knew how to cheat the ball, And in a few years later, I think it was MLB Network, he somewhat jokingly admitted that he did it, but he didn't overly say that he did, but he kind of smiled and kind of hinted that he did cheat, because what are they going to do? It's decades later. What are they going to do? Suspend them? What can they do?
Yeah.
So.
And they lost anyway, so.
Yeah, they lost, I mean, that's the problem with the Astros team. They've had, good teams, in 86, 05, but prior to 2017, and, they couldn't get over the hump. They couldn't win the title. Beltran, great player, bounced around many teams, Kansas City, Houston on that 05 team. What was I going to say? The Mets, Giants, right? The Yankees, and then back to Houston. He could never win that title until he came back to Houston. And now his career, you know, his possible Hall of Fame career, you know, is tainted because of this. And I think it's, you know, it's a shame. We'll never know now if, you know, they could have, you know, beat the Yankees fairly or the Dodgers.
Yeah, they robbed both of those teams of World Series rings, and Altuve stole the MVP award from Judge in 2017, possibly.
Yeah, according to Bellinger.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's, you know, that's basically it. What, how do you feel as a Yankee fan?
Well, you know, it's very unfortunate, you know, to hear the, you know, this Astros cheating scandal. And the fact that the Yankees, you know, had two opportunities to possibly win championships to add to their 27 championships. It's frustrating, man. Because we could have won at least one championship in the last decade. Instead, we go zero championships, you know, in the decade. So it is frustrating, but I don't want to dwell on the past too much, you know. It is what it is. You just got to move forward, and hopefully this year, you know, we'll redeem ourselves and try to win it all without any cheating from the Astros.
It's funny how you say that, like, how you crying about 27 titles. You're like, man, we could have more. We could have 28, 29, man. Dig,
yeah.
Man. We just want to, you know, run up the ball. It's like UConn, man. Like,
no,
man,
I'm saying that, like, we could have, but I'm not dwelling on it. Like, I'm moving forward. Like, it is what it is. Like, there's nothing I can do. You know,
well,
I can't change it, so we just have to move forward. I mean, I'm not going to cry about it and, like, say, yeah, you know.
Of course.
It is what it is. Got to move forward.
You guys have 27 titles. What? You guys could have had 28,
exactly.
29. Like, I mean,
yeah.
I'm sure you, in a few years, you'll reach 29, 28, 29 anyway, so.
Yeah. But
it
still,
is what it is.
Yeah, you just got to move forward. You can't dwell on the past. I mean, you can't do nothing about it. You can't go in the time machine and change it. So
yeah,
just got to move forward and try to win a championship this year.
And I think, if I'm a member server, I think the Dodgers were saying, like, claim that they should be the rightful champions or so.
Well, you know, both teams have arguments against the Astros. Again, this is an unfortunate thing because a lot of teams, a lot of players are hurt because of this. This has affected a lot of players. I mean, there's pitchers that have been sent down because they were destroyed by Astros hitting, you know, during this cheating scandal. So a lot of players and teams have been affected by this. So, you know, it's one of the worst scandals since the Black Sox scandal.
And the steroids. Yeah, the Black Sox and the steroids. But, yeah, I would have to agree with you. I mean, the steroid scandal is the biggest scandal, like, but this is the biggest team-oriented scandal that I could think of since the Black Sox. I mean, obviously the segregation, you know, whatchamacallit, the color barrier, but that was you know, instituted by the whole league until, you know, Jackie Robinson broke it in 47, and then Yankees and Red Sox were like the last teams to, you know, accept black players. You know, Yankees got their first black player in Elson Howard in, what, 55, when they lost to the Brooklyn Dodgers that year for the Dodgers-only championship in Brooklyn. And then I think 59 was the year the Red Sox finally had a black player. So, yeah, I would say, but I would have to agree with you that this is probably the biggest scandal that the team of team-oriented, like a team-oriented team, you know, like, how can I explain it? A team-oriented scandal, because the steroid scandal, I mean, there are some players and owners who knew about it, who looked the other way, but, you know, it wasn't like they were injecting all their players, you know. It was like a handful of players, depending on what team, you know, who was affected, who had players doing it. We don't know how the effect of how many players were doing it on the team and what owners knew about it. But with this scandal, yeah, I mean, basically everybody knew. So this is the worst cheating scandal, team-oriented cheating scandal since the Black Sox scandal, which happened in 1919. So it is what it is. But yeah, shifting gears to NBA. I don't know if you heard, but they have they announced the finalists in the Hall of Fame.
Yep, I did hear. Did hear tonight.
You know, Kobe is going in. I'm trying to remember who else. Tim Duncan, I think, was one of them.
Yep.
Catchings is another. You know, they
had deserved names.
What you said?
Some well-deserved names.
Yeah, and our boy Mike Breen, the longtime Knicks, play-by-play man.
Yeah.
And of course, does many games, you know, throughout basketball, you know, on TV, TNT, ABC, ESPN, you know, well deserved. So congratulations.
Not TNT, I'm at ESPN and ABC, yeah.
Right, yeah, he doesn't do TNT. He just do ABC and
TNT,
ESPN.
Yeah. I mean, ABC, I keep seeing TNT,
mm-hmm.
not TNT. But, also tonight, it was the All-Star Game. And before the All-Star Game, it was announced that the All-Star
Game... You mean the slam dunk contest?
I mean, yes, it was the NBA All-Star Saturday night. The All-Star Game's tomorrow.
Right.
But tonight was All-Star Saturday night. We have the skills... three-point and a slam dunk contest. But before the Saturday night events began, the commissioner announced that the NBA All-Star Game MVP will be named after Kobe Bryant, since Kobe has won the most All-Star MVP awards. He's won like four. So the MVP award will be named after him, and whoever wins it tomorrow will get that trophy.
Yeah, that's a great gesture, you know.
Yeah.
Just wish he was alive to see it. But, yeah, it's definitely a well-deserved honor, you know, for the late, great Kobe Bryant, you know.
Yeah.
And yesterday, the whatchamacallit, R.J. Barrett, he scored 27 points. He dominated the rookie, the rookie All-Star game. I forgot what they call it, Rising.
Rising Stars, yeah.
Yeah, the game, you know. He was, of course, he played, you know, since he's Canadian, he played on the world team, but they came up short.
Yeah, too bad he can't do that in the NBA game, but he had a good game.
He had his best game.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully this will give him the confidence to, you know, have a similar games in the regular season. I think he's had one game like this. Can't remember what team he was facing. But, yeah. You know, congratulations to him, even though it wasn't a losing effort.
Did you see the dunk contest tonight?
Nah, I didn't. Who won?
Oh, man. Tonight was one of the best events. The three-point contest was great. Well, actually, all three events were great tonight. And the dunk contest ended up being, you know, the best dunk contest since Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine from several years ago. And Aaron Gordon was in this year's contest again. And in the finals, he went up against Derrick Jones. Oh, no, who was it again? It was Derrick Jones Jr. from Miami Heat. And they had like two dunk-offs. They had some great dunks, man. I'm talking about 360 between the legs, windmills from the free throw line. So they ended up going to the overtime, having two dunk-offs. And Derrick Jones edged out Eric Gordon 48-47. But a lot of people think Aaron Gordon got robbed again because he had some of the best dunks of the night, including a dunk over that guy Taco, who plays for Boston Celtics, like 7'6". He dunked over him.
Wow.
So, but Aaron Gordon still lost, so he gets robbed again. But overall, it was a great night, man. I enjoyed it.
That's good. You know,
and there's a player named Amadou Diallo.
Oh, wow.
I thought Amadou Diallo wasn't that the dude that got shot by the cops?
Same name. Yeah, that's the similar name. Unless it is I don't know, unless his name has an H in it or something, but yeah.
Yeah, it does have an H. Yeah.
The other one, I think the guy who, you know, who was killed, you know, in that tragedy, he didn't have an H in his name, if my memory serves me right.
Right, right. Well, actually, sorry, Amadou Diallo was he won the dunk contest last year, not this year. This year was Derrick Jones. Sorry.
Right, right. But what was I gonna say? I'm trying to think. What was I gonna say? I guess I said what I. Oh yeah. Shifting gears to WWE. I don't know if you saw SmackDown yesterday, but
I did some of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Bray Wyatt. You know he cut a promo. He interrupted Hulk Hogan. You know, talking about him going into the Hall of, you know, him and, you know, his NWO brothers going to the WWE Hall of Fame as a group this time, since the major three guys in the group and even X-Pac, they were already one-time Hall of Famers, but now they're all going in, you know, as NWO, so they're all two-time Hall of Famers now. But what was I gonna say? So basically, Hulk Hogan was talking about warning Bray Wyatt that, you know, just like him, you know, in 98, you know, he was facing Goldberg. He came in as champion, but he went home without the title. So he was warning Bray Wyatt not to take Goldberg lightly, which then proceeded for, you know, Bray Wyatt to cut a, you know, a mocking Hulk Hogan, you know, promo on him. And
yeah, that's hilarious.
It was funny. And then afterwards, you know, he basically scared Hulk Hogan, you know, to get off the air, because he was, you know, taunting him that, you know, the Fiend might attack him. And that was the first time in your career, in Hulk Hogan's career, that you actually see him get scared. He's like, okay, well, he got off the air quickly.
I think we might see Hulk Hogan and Goldberg and the Bray Wyatt triple threat match, maybe. It might happen.
With WWE, you never know. Yeah. So if you're Hulk Hogan, I mean, it would be similar to that WrestleMania 9 when he got a surprise match against Yokozuna after Bret Hart lost. So, I mean, with WWE and Hulk Hogan, I mean, you never know. I doubt it. Because he would have, let's say if that did happen, he would have to vacate the title. Because he's not going to take any bumps, you know, all the surgeries and, you know, his age.
Right.
So he'd have to, let's say by some, but how, I mean, that would be impossible because, The Fiend, you can't even pin the Fiend. Like, you hit your finishers on him and he just pops up. Like, I mean, when you think about it, maybe other than, you know, Hulk, I mean, Undertaker in his prime, there hasn't been anybody like that. I mean, not even Kane. And Kane was scary when he first popped up.
Yeah, true.
But he knows. He no sells people's finishing moves. Like, would Hulk Hogan?
He's tough to defeat.
Huh?
He's tough to defeat.
Yeah. That's why it was so ridiculous that Seth Rollins beat him that first time, you know, even though the fans was demanding him to put for them to put the title on him. And by some, you know, bad booking, you know, Vince made, you know, Bray Wyatt lose to Seth Rollins, even though Seth Rollins hit like 100 curb stops on him and couldn't pin him. But, yeah, I mean, the only person who looks like he's going to beat him is Roman Reigns. But if I was booking, I would have made him face Braun Strowman, you know, who's currently the Intercontinental title.
Yeah, older. It looks like it's gonna be Roman Reigns right now.
Yeah, for sure. because they haven't had any interactions whatsoever with each other. So
yeah,
that's definitely what's going to happen. And, you know, WWE's going to milk the whole, you know, him battling leukemia, which, I mean, obviously it's an impressive feat, you know, in real life, you know, to overcome such a, you know, debilitating disease like that. And, you know, he's able to come back to form. But WWE is just, I mean, they're just, in my opinion, I think they're just milking the storyline to get, you know, sympathy for him. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I think they need to stop. You know, they mentioned it when he first came back. Like, literally, they showed on yesterday, as his big achievements. You know, he's a, what, 4-time champion. He's a Royal Rumble winner, I think, in 2015. And he came back from leukemia. I mean, like, that's just, it just seems out of place, you know, in achievement. I mean, in real life, that's a huge, you know what I mean? Let's be real. That's a real achievement.
It is, yeah.
It is, no doubt about it. But I don't think it should be a wrestling baseball card or statistic. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's good that the WWE fans are showing him love now, you know, after he came back, you know, from you know, battling the cancer. But WWE, they just keep, you know, I mean, they just keep mentioning it. I mean, it's fine to mention it from time to time. But
yeah, they're milking it.
They are. Kind of like when they were milking Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins' relationship until Seth Rollins turned heel. You know,
talking about Becky Lynch, what about that bite that Shayna Baszler had on her?
That was crazy. That was insane. That was disgusting. I mean, I've seen some crazy stuff from the Attitude Era and the Ruthless Aggression Era, but geez, man, that was too far.
That was like the Brood back in the day.
I know, but that was fake blood, though.
I know. I mean, well, this was fake blood too.
I was
too
far too.
But, you know.
Yeah, I would assume this is fake blood, too.
But I'm
saying,
you know, it's kind of like reminiscent of that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just disgusting. I mean, it was well done. You know what I mean? It looked like it really happened, but I mean, it's just gross. I assume it's fake. I mean, that's just disgusting. I mean, like, that was creepy, man.
Yeah, but it did bring some shock value to the show. So.
It did. It really solidifies Shayna Baszler as a psychotic animal.
Yeah.
Who'll do anything, you know? I mean, you know, wasn't expecting it, for sure, you know. That's insane. But, yeah, that matchup is going to be interesting, you know, when those two fight each other. Well, at WrestleMania, I presume. So.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, that's gonna be an interesting matchup, and maybe Ronda Rousey, and you know, the rest of the MMA Four Horsewomen will come to Baszler's whatchamacallit, you know, aid at WrestleMania, and basically she could get a revenge through her friend. Since Ronda Rousey and, you know, Charlotte was defeated, and then I guess that will lead to the WWE's version of the Horsewoman to team up if Sasha Banks is still in the organization, and then Bayley would have to turn babyface. And I guess Charlotte, I guess, she's a tweener right now, I guess.
Yeah. Kind of playing mind games. What's her face?
Rhea Ripley.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they had the pay per view. No, actually, the pay per view is tomorrow with NXT. Their takeover. Yeah, they're gonna have some good matches. They're gonna have Keith Lee versus Djokovic, who's like this like 7-foot dude or so. I mean, those two big men can move for a guy their size. So that's going to be a great matchup. I think Keith Lee is going to win that one. You're going to have you're going to have Ciampa versus Cole. Should be a good one as well. Let me see what else is going to fight. Oh yeah, they're going to have what's her name? I'm trying to think. Ripley versus Bianca Belair. Yeah, they got some good matches, you know. That's gonna go down tomorrow. But anything you'd like to say before we go?
No, just thanks for having me as usual, and check out the show again next week. As usual time, 11 p.m. only on Blog Talk Radio.
You're the guy. Check out the show. Sports Urban Legend every Saturdays at 11. And check out my YouTube channel, Sports Urban Legend TV. And, we'll see you guys next week. I'm William Ramos, and he's Macaulay Matthew. And enjoy the rest of your week. Peace.